following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
You may have heard a few weeks ago now actually, that we made this announcement, introduced in fact, Pastor Shaddy to you, who was part of the family, Refuge family, for years and years with his wife Isabel and the kids, answered a call to go to Texas to serve in a ministry there in Texas, and to come alongside that ministry and to serve in an assistant pastoral role. And then over time, the Lord provided this opportunity for him to take over the leadership of the church. It was for a season, and Shaddy and the family didn't know how long that season is. I'm not sure that we ever really know how long the seasons of what God calls us to do, but God did. And so over time, it became apparent that the call was to come back to California, and we needed to expand our pastoral staff. And the Lord just kind of worked it all out together. So he and his family have moved back. Some of you obviously know that. Some of you didn't, but moved back and are serving here at Refuge. And we're going to be blessed this morning because I heard the message at 7:30 to hear a message from Pastor Shaddy. So would you guys welcome our brother and pastor, Pastor Shaddy?
Thank you. Good morning. Man, I love how you guys are so, what's the word? Awake is good. No, but I was thinking more along the lines of a cocky to talk about bringing a jacket for 70 degree weather. So in Texas, it's like 30 degree weather and you're bundled up pretty good. But anyways, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good,
thank you. I've actually had a little bit of a rough week, to be honest with you. Some of you might have noticed I've limping a little bit. And there's a lot of really awesome saints that have been praying for me over the week, and I've been getting better. But when I tell people what happened to me, the response is always the same. I got hurt playing basketball. See, that's the response I get. It's like, what are you doing playing basketball? Like, it's, yeah. So I was playing with Pastor Jeff, and yeah, he's in good shape. We're the same age. It's not even like young kids, but I'm going to get him back. So anyways, so that's how I'm doing. How are you guys doing? Good. Now, really, how are you guys doing? Like, see, okay, that's great. In a church this size, though, I would expect that a lot of you guys, or some of you guys, might be limping a little bit as well. Maybe it's not because you were foolish enough to play basketball with your pastor. Maybe it's other hurts. There's other things going on in your life. Scared, that you're scared of. Just things that are causing worry, problems that are arising. And I'm certain that every one of us has problems. And some of us has major problems, things that we're really wrestling with. And these things are causing us to limp through life. And maybe you're really good at hiding it, and maybe nobody knows, and maybe everybody knows. But this limp, this problem is really affecting you. This problem has caused you to worry. Maybe it's caused you to lose some sleep. You know, maybe it's caused you to have a broken heart. It's turned into anxiety. Maybe you're seeing somebody for it. Maybe it's even more serious than anybody knows. Maybe it's even depression. But I'm certain that there is a lot of people in this room that are going through life right now with a limp. Something bad has happened to you. And maybe you're a little discouraged. There's been a lot of funerals lately. You know, we just talked about Rusty, but Mary Fournier also just passed away. There's people getting sick. Maybe we've all known someone that's passed away from COVID. Maybe you've been sick. People are losing jobs. People are, you know, there's all this political stuff going on. People are mad too. Do you guys notice how mad people are? You know, your friends, your family members, maybe even you. You're mad that people don't see things the way you see things. And these positions have divided friendships and families and even churches. And the world just keeps throwing, you know, just problems at us. It's almost like, you know, just one problem on top of another, and we're just weighed down by all these things. And it's easy to see why Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we see that evident every single day of our lives. We live in chaos. This world is chaos. And it's easy to get stressed and anxious and depressed. But thankfully, the Lord shows us that that is not the only way to be. We have a choice. There's a better path to take. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. If you guys have your Bibles, please turn there this morning. We're going to see the calling of Joshua. When God called Joshua, Joshua had a major problem. His hero, Moses, had died. And Joshua was pretty lost, as you could imagine. Let's jump into it. Joshua chapter 1, we'll start in verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel." Well, let's stop right there for a sec. There's a major problem that Joshua is wrestling with. And I actually see three problems. Number one, the big one, is Moses is dead. Number two, God is calling Joshua. And number three, it's not just the calling, but it's the magnitude of the calling. It's not just I'm calling you, but I'm calling you to do something really great, really extraordinary, absolutely impossible for you to do. And I know that Joshua is struggling with all three of these things because God addresses each one of them. Look at the first one. Moses is dead. Now, please don't miss what a huge blow this would be, not just for Joshua, but the entire nation of Israel. Moses was the man, right? He was the leader. But he was especially important to Joshua. And we're given clues to how Joshua is doing, because three times in these first 9 verses, God has to command Joshua to be strong and courageous. In fact, at the end of the chapter, the people have to remind Joshua to be strong and courageous as well. Why does he need to be reminded? Why does he need to be commanded? Because he wasn't very strong or courageous. And let me just tell you, I love that. I love that about Joshua. I love to see the weaknesses of these wonderful, mighty men of God, because I can relate to weakness. You know, I can't relate to the Superman guy, the guy that, you know, even Joseph. Joseph was kind of a Superman guy. I got nothing in common with Joseph. But weakness, problems, fear, that's my boy. I could relate to that. And he needed to hear it over and over and over again, because that's what he struggled with. I think the death of Moses crippled him. Sometimes we have these problems enter, invade our lives that we didn't ask for, that we didn't invite, and it comes in and it just crushes. It crushes us. Moses was the leader. In Joshua's eyes, he was irreplaceable. Moses was the guy that God spoke to. Moses was the guy that God gave the commandments to. Moses was the guy who asked God for water, and water came out of a rock. Moses was the guy that prayed for food, and it started raining manna. And to Joshua, he's even more than that. To Joshua, Moses was a mentor, a father figure, a dear brother, a best friend. Joshua would follow Moses around, and he learned how to be a servant of God by watching and copying Moses. They spent a lot of time together. And now this part of Joshua's life is gone. I don't know if something that traumatic has happened to you. I would very safely guess that it has. I would guess that you have gone through something really, really big. And it's altered the course of your life. I think for Joshua here, I think what he wanted to do was just lay down and die. And maybe I'm projecting a little bit about me in that situation. If it was me, it would be hard to get up the next day. It would be hard to move on with life when my leader, my best friend, is gone. And that's his problem. That's a big problem. And God shows up and he starts talking to him. And that's great. Thank you, Lord, for talking to me. But God wants me to do stuff, right? And everything that God wants me to do, there's problems in that. God calls him. Joshua, I want you to do something. That idea that God is calling Joshua, I'm sure Joshua was thinking, who am I that you would call me? Right? I'm not like Moses. Me and Moses have nothing in common. I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner. And as a brother was telling me, for 80 years, Joshua is an old man at this point. He's 80 years old. No offense, any of my brothers. Just digging my grave. He is a young man at 80 years old. But he's been a nobody his whole life. He's been the guy behind the guy. And sometimes God calls these people. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a great place to be, actually, when you see yourself as a nobody, when you see yourself as having nothing to contribute to the Lord. That's the blank canvas that God could use, that God could work on. Do you remember what Pastor Chuck used to say? God doesn't call the qualified, but he, you guys know it, he qualifies the called. And up until this point, Joshua has never been a leader. He's been a follower. Verse 1 tells us that he was Moses' assistant. He was his helper. And now God speaks to him. And he says, Joshua, get up. Arise. My servant Moses is dead. But it doesn't mean that my work is finished. It doesn't mean that my plans are dead. It doesn't mean that I'm going to pack up and I'm going to go home. The Israelites are still going into the promised land. God has not forgotten about them. There's still work that needs to be done. So Joshua, get up. Wipe the tears from your eyes, because you are going to go in there and lead these people into the promised land. Right? Just such a big calling. And really, when we look at the magnitude of the calling, right? It's not just that he was saying, you know, hey guys, follow me as we go, you know, across the street for some sushi or something, right? Like, it's not just like this easy thing that everybody could get behind. But God is calling him to do the impossible. God calls his people to do the impossible. I want you to cross over the Jordan and take the land. In chapter 3, we see that the Jordan was overflowing. It was that season of the year where the river would be huge and scary and just that rushing river. They didn't have bridges. They didn't have boats, right? They had a bunch of little kids, right? How are they going to get these little kids across that roaring river? And even if they do get across the roaring river, on the other side, there's giants in the land. There's armies in the land. There's fortified cities in the land. Are they just going to knock? Like, what's going to happen? God is calling Joshua to do the impossible. So these are real problems Joshua is facing. But God does something really cool in verses 3, 4, and 5 that really help diffuse the problems for Joshua. What he does is he gives Joshua promises. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that amazing? As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Why does Joshua get these wonderful promises? Because the promises of God shrink the problems of our lives. The first promise God gives them is this general promise that God had already given the nation of Israel, or the children of Israel. He says, I'm going to give you the land. And he reminds Joshua the scope, the magnitude of what God is going to give, how far the borders are going to go. Joshua, you're worried about crossing the river? Man, don't worry about that. You're not only going to cross the river, you're going to take it all. You're going to be successful. You're a victor. I've decreed it. I've called it. You've already crossed the Jordan. You've already taken the land. You've already defeated the enemy. You're already living there. The battle has been waged. It's been decided. Joshua, you've won. You don't have to worry. I will keep my promise to you. I love the fact that God's promises are so ironclad. Your family, your friends, your boss, your coworkers, their promises aren't ironclad. My daughter's 10 years old. I could bring her right up here and she'll say, my daddy's promises are not ironclad. My daughter has this way of asking for dessert. She's a genius. She asks for dessert about 10 o'clock at night, right? As we're tucking in her bed. Oh, Dad, I didn't get any dessert today. I get dessert today. Sweetie, it's 10 o'clock at night. Tomorrow you can have dessert. You know what happens tomorrow? You promised, right? You need to give it to me. Sorry, honey, it's still too late. We can't do it tomorrow. You know, it's that kind of thing. But God's promises are not like my promises. They're not like your promises. God's promises are ironclad. They don't rust. They don't have an expiration date. They don't go bad. Every single promise that God gives, He will fulfill. Everyone. And fortunately, He is not cheap or whatever with His promises. He gives them out generously. Our Bibles are filled with promises of God. So Joshua, this is a sure thing. It's going to happen. Israel will take that land. They will cross the river. And no one will be able to stand before you. And that could have been it right there. And that would have been enough for Joshua. But God gives them more. He gives them another promise. A personal promise. Only for Joshua. He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't think there's anything better that Joshua could have heard. Right? Given the magnitude of the calling and everything that he's got to do, knowing that God has promised that he's going to be with him like he was with Moses, and that he'll never leave him or forsake him, that's got to be the greatest thing he's ever heard. And maybe Joshua's mind just wandered a little bit. You're going to be with me the way you were with Moses? Moses got to talk to you face to face, or face to cloud. Moses got to catch a glimpse of your glory. You protected Moses. You provided for Moses. You used Moses. You led Moses, and Moses led the people. He was your mouthpiece. By God giving Joshua that promise, he's telling him, you have nothing to fear. I am with you. I will do the heavy lifting. I won't leave you stranded, embarrassed. I'm not going to send anything to you that I can't handle. I know you've got these problems, and I know that they're big problems. You're worried about Moses being taken from you, and you're worried about what the next step of your life is going to look like. But I want you to know that I am with you, and that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know you're worried about your ability to lead, that you're not qualified, you're scared. But I want you to know that I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know you're worried about crossing the Jordan, fighting giants in the land, and facing the armies. And you're an older man, right? You're not as you were at 40 years old when you went with Caleb and you scoped out the land and you're like, I could take them. Now you're older. I know you're worried about that. But I want you to know that I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does that do to you? What did that do to Joshua? When we grab hold of God's promises and we walk in them, our problems start to shrink. Our problems start to shrink the way a little kid lets the air out of a balloon, right? Right? Like, our problems shrink. Now listen, I'm not saying that our problems go away. Our problems, a lot of times, are still there. Nothing has changed in Joshua's life. Moses is still dead. The river hasn't been crossed. And the war hasn't been decided yet, or hasn't been won yet. But I'm saying that in light of God's great goodness and greatness, our problems just don't seem very big anymore. That's what walking by faith and not by sight means. So what we're doing, or what Joshua's doing, is he's putting his life with all the problems that he has into the hands of the Lord. He's trusting his life to a loving God. I know that I could ask God to heal me. I know that I could ask God to fix that relationship that I ruined. I know that I could ask God for protection. I know that I can ask him to provide for me. I can talk to God about anything that is troubling my heart. And we're going to have a lot of troubles. But I can take it all to the Lord. And then I could leave them with the Lord. He doesn't need to give me an answer right away. He doesn't need to solve my problems right away. Just the fact that he heard me and he loves me, and I know that he's capable of answering my prayers. But what if he doesn't? What if you've got this really, really big hurt, this really big problem, and you've taken it to God over and over and over again, and he doesn't fix it? He doesn't heal you. He doesn't solve it. What if he says, my grace is sufficient for you? I think that's okay too. You're going to have a limp. But by God's grace, you'll get through it. See, God is not this genie in a bottle that we rub the lamp and poof, he comes out and we command him to do what we want him to do. Sometimes the answer is no. And that's okay. Because it's at that point where we got to hold on to God's promises even more, even tighter. He hasn't healed me. He hasn't fixed this broken heart of mine. But I know he's with me. I know he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I know that he's going to work out all things for my good and for his glory. I know that I'm called according to his purposes. So we could pray, Lord, I trust you. We don't have to pretend like we like it. We could be honest with the Lord. Lord, I don't like this. This hurts. I'm being stretched. But I trust you. I trust that you've got a plan through this. I trust that you're going to walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I trust you. And when that trust starts settling in, that's where the peace comes in. Man, the peace comes in like a river. So to help Joshua get over these problems, God does two things. Number one, we talked about, he gives Jonathan earlier? No, I said Joshua. That's right. I know. He gives Joshua two things. The first one is promises. The second thing he gives him is purpose. Problems look really big when all we see is the problem, right? And you and I, we're good. I'm good at looking at my problems, man. I see my problem and I'm looking at it from all different angles, and the closer I get, the bigger it looks, right? And then I invite my friends, hey, come and take a look at my problem. And they're like, it's not that big. And I'm like, what, are you kidding? Look how big it is. It's huge. It's massive. You're just not seeing it right. And they're like, oh yeah, I see it now. And then you're like, told you, right? I've got big problems. When we focus on them, they become impossible to get over. They make us worry. We get anxious. We get depressed. But God gives Joshua not just promises, but he gives him purpose. He says to him, "My servant Moses is dead. Joshua, arise. It's time to get up. Stop focusing on your problem and focus on your purpose." We all have purpose. We're still alive. God hasn't taken us home because there's still work that needs to be done. There's still people to love, debts to forgive, people to minister to, light to be shown. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 6, "For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God gives him two purposes. But before each one, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God commands him to be strong and courageous. That tells us that Joshua has a choice. He can choose to be bold, or he could choose to be weak. Now, if he chooses to look at himself, he's going to be weak. If he chooses to look at his problems, he's going to be weak. If he chooses to look at the people that are hurting him, he's going to be weak. But if he focuses on God, that's the secret sauce. That's where the power comes from. Be strong and courageous, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. And then he gives them the first purpose. He says, I want you to look at the inheritance. Look at the spoils. Joshua, yeah, you're on this side of the river, but I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give the people the land. And when you get there and you beat those guys, you're going to be tasked with dividing the land for my people. He wants them to look at the finish line. God tells us the same thing. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Every one of us, we're in a race. Every one of us, we're heading to the finish line. Keep our eyes on Jesus, who's there waiting for us. Mary and Rusty, they've made it. They're with Jesus. We're still there. We're running still. So he tells them, keep your eyes on the inheritance. And then again, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Focus on this. And then he gives them the second purpose. Look at the word. Look at the word. I want you to focus on the word of God. Hold on to the book of the law. Hold on to scripture. Hold on to what Moses has taught you. And he says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and that you may observe to do all that is in it. And then you will be successful. So he tells them, number one, don't let it depart from your mouth. I have a confession. Before I was saved, I used to watch The Sopranos. I know, pray for me. But the more I watched it, and I love that show, the more I watched it, the more it invaded my mind. The more I started walking with a little bit of a swagger and thinking that I was this gangster and, you know, talking like I was Italian and an Egyptian talking. Yeah, there's problems. There's so many problems there. But then I found the Lord. I met the Lord. He met me, actually. And I couldn't watch it anymore. I just couldn't. It was affecting me too much. What we put in, what we take in, is what comes out. So the Lord is telling Joshua, I want you to take in my word. Let that be your primary food source. Do not let it depart from your mouth. As you're taking it in, it will also come out, and it will be a blessing to the people that you're leading. Someone comes to you with a problem, you give them my word, right? They don't want your opinions. They don't want your experience or your expertise or anything like that. They need my word. You give them my word, but you have to take it in order to give it. So don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Chew on it. Let it just sit there in your mind and wrestle with Scripture. Why? So that you may observe it. Right? It's not just that you want to speak it, but you want to do it. So Joshua, you want to be successful? And brothers and sisters, it's the same for us. You want to be successful? You want to get over the problems? Meditate on the word of God. Do not let it depart from your mouth so that you may observe it. So speak it, think it, and do it. That's what he's saying. And then he says, have I not commanded you? Again, the third time, be strong and of good courage. And again, he really illustrates the choice here. Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid or dismayed. We have the choice to be strong and of good courage, or defeated, dismayed, distracted. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, do not be dismayed? Why? For the Lord your God is with you. And that's the secret to all of this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when they say, when we read all things, it is all things. It's not in our strength. God is asking Joshua to do the impossible, right? Not Joshua can't part the river. Joshua can't beat giants and armies and knock down fortified cities, and he can't do any of that, but God can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, this was spoken specifically to Joshua some 3,500 years ago. But I'm telling you, we have the exact same promises today. And we have the exact same choices to make as well. We can't let our problems cripple us. We can't. If we only see our problems, we will be crippled. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you." And Joshua did that. Joshua got up. He embraced the promises. He walked in his purpose. Verse 11, Joshua commanded the people, saying, "Prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days we will cross over this Jordan, the land which the Lord your God," and we're going to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He's riled up. He's not sad. He's not scared anymore. In chapter 3, the day before they crossed the fierce Jordan River, Joshua declared, and it's one of my favorite verses, and I got a lot of favorite verses, I'm sorry. "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Do you have that hope? Do you wake up in the morning saying God is going to do wonders today? Joshua's circumstances had not changed a lick. The river was still raging. The enemy was still waiting. The only thing that changed was Joshua's perspective. He trusted God with his life full of problems. He believed his promises, and he walked according to the purpose that God laid out for him. Church, I believe God's telling us to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to arise. To walk by faith, just like Joshua did. Yes, we have problems. Yes, they're big problems. To us, they're big problems. But God wants to work miraculously through our lives. You and I are alive today because we have purpose. We have air in our lungs because God wants to shine through us. We have a mission. We have a calling. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, we read about who we are and what our calling is. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. That word workmanship in the Greek is poema, which where we get our word poem from, exactly. It speaks of us being his masterpiece, right? When an artist makes a poem, it's his or her life's work. It's the beautiful thing that they've created. That's who we are. We were created for relationship. We were created to know God and to be known by him, right? But then we're also created for good works, which he prepared beforehand for us to do. Before you were born, God already called you to a certain work. And you might be saying, "Well, God hasn't said anything to me." Well, have you asked him if he said anything? You know, like, you should ask him. Are you in the Word? Are you devouring it? Are you meditating on it? Are you speaking it? Oh, but you don't understand. I have problems. And yes, I believe that you have problems. I have problems. And your problems might be bigger than my problems. Joshua had problems. But God shrunk them to nothing simply because of all the promises that he would be with Joshua. Are you holding on to your promises? Am I holding on to his promises? You know, this passage came up to my heart because I was going through some things. So this is more about me than it is about you. Promise. Am I going to say, Lord, I trust you? Am I going to surrender my life in his hands? Am I going to wake up in the morning, even though I've got problems, and say, God's going to do something great today? Do I really believe that? You and I are made to do something great for the Lord. In Romans chapter 6, we read about this power. The same power, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. How cool is that? Right? God promised Joshua that he would always be with him and that he would never forsake him. God promises us that he dwells inside of us. I think we got it better. He dwells in us. And he wants to do great things in our lives. God wants to show off in us and through us. But again, it comes down to choice. Satan gives us another option. He wants to distract us. He wants to scare us. He wants to discourage us. He wants to cripple us with fear and doubt and make us believe that we're all alone and that we're done for and that we're defeated so that we would be useless, so that we would not walk according to the purpose that God has laid out for us. I want to be like Joshua. I know you want to be like Joshua too. I want to walk in boldness. And I want my life to fulfill whatever God wants it to fulfill. Whether that's doing great things like Joshua and crossing impossible rivers, or just grabbing a brother and just letting him know that God loves him, and that God's got a plan for him, and that God hasn't left him or forsaken him. There's no small tasks in God's kingdom. Everything is big. Everything is important. And God is constantly working. Let's prepare ourselves. For God is going to do great wonders among us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a God who's always moving, who's always faithful, Lord. Even when we're not faithful, you are faithful. Lord, even when we can't keep our promises, you keep your promises. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for us, your incredible patience, for how you shrink our problems. Lord, there is nothing that we face that, one, you don't know about, or two, it's too much for you to handle. So, Lord, I pray for any brother or sister in here that is going through a crazy season. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're anxious or scared. Lord, may they come to you right now, Lord, and surrender that to you. May they entrust their lives to you. May they say, Lord, I trust you. I don't like it, but I trust you, Father. I trust that you've got a plan in this. And I trust that you're going to walk me through it. And Lord, may you show off in their lives. I thank you, Father, for all that you do. I thank you for your Son and his death on the cross, Lord, for our sake, so that we could be with you at that finish line for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.